sir, you too, he'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His ear is never closed to your cares and woes. God is just a prayer away.
Gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. It is written, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. It is written, and he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
For God is just a prayer away.
And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was as leprous as snow. Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as the other flesh. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. And the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. He is tender and loving and patient with me, while he cleanses my heart of the dross. But there's no condemnation, I know I am free, for my sins are all nailed to the cross. I will cling to my Savior and never depart. I will joyfully journey each day with a song in my lips and a song in my heart that my sins are all taken away. They are nailed to the cross. They are nailed to the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross. But he carried my sins with him there. Gospel message, Moses and the Burning Bush. In Exodus chapters 3 and 4, Moses was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and led the flock to the backside of the desert. And that is where it happened. He saw a bush that burned with fire and was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Moses said, Here am I. Many years later, God called another man and said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Here am I. Many years after that, Isaiah was called, and he said, Here am I. Send me. Ladies and gentlemen, God is still calling for preachers today. Jesus said we should pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. God further said, I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and am come down to deliver them. God still sees the affliction and cruel bondage of people today brought on by the works of Pharaoh devil, and he is still looking for those whom he can send to deliver the message that will set them free from the bondage of sin. Let my people go. Consider also that Moses was a shepherd. God has a strange way of doing things from the standpoint of the world. And to send a shepherd into Egypt to deliver his people appears to be a tactical blunder, anything but a shepherd. For it is written in Genesis 46, Every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. But then again, we are reminded that Jesus himself was a shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lived down his life for the sheep. And who can ever forget, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This situation is typical with the history of the human race. God's way of doing things is often obnoxious to humanity, not just to the Egyptians. The plan of salvation is an abomination to many preachers. It is an abomination to mention very often what God requires us to do to be saved. We have to note also that God has waited a long time to call Moses. Moses was ready to be used as a deliverer of Israel 40 years before that, when he killed an Egyptian. He supposed that the people understood that God by his hand was giving them deliverance, but God was not quite ready yet. God does not move according to our timetable. It would take another 40 years before God was ready for Moses. And in that 40 years, we know nothing about him, except that he was a shepherd and begat two sons. Like Moses, we all have to learn that it takes time for God to finally get around to using us like we think we ought to be used. The amazing thing about the bush that burned is that God would appear in a bush. Why not an oak tree, or at least a maple? A bush for a special appearance of the Almighty seems to be most inappropriate. But then again, God does have strange ways of doing things. Jesus was born in a stable. That doesn't seem to be a very auspicious start for the Savior of the world either. But whether in a bush or a stable, God always uses what he has at hand. Then again, it is not surprising that God appeared in fire in the bush. There was fire on the mountain when God gave the Ten Commandments. And do we not remember that God answered the prayer of Elijah by fire that fell from heaven on his burnt offering? And then again, God used a fiery chariot when Elijah rose up to glory. And who can ever forget how Jesus walked in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It says that the bush was not consumed. How could it be? The answer is very simple. Verse 4 of this third chapter of Exodus says that God spoke to Moses out of the bush. God was in the bush. That is why the bush would not be consumed. Anything God is in just isn't going to burn out. This bush is symbolic of the Israelites themselves. They were in the furnace of Egypt and were not consumed. Deuteronomy 4:20 tells us, when Moses was giving his farewell address to Israel, that he referred to their stay in Egypt as an iron furnace. Moses said, "The Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt." Think of the Bible. Think of the times it has been burned, and it has not yet been consumed. Ladies and gentlemen, it will never be consumed because God is in it. The Lord Jesus is in it. It is the inspired word of God the Holy Spirit. No way. The Bible is here forever, whether the unbelievers like it or not. God is in it. Apply that thought to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why has it not been destroyed? Why, because God is in it, and it is here for good. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It will never be consumed, because God is in it. Moses is not sure now that he is the one God will use, and so he asks, "Who am I? And whom shall I say sent me?" God told him, "Just tell them, I am that I am has sent you." God is the great I am. We cannot help but notice some of the times Jesus referred to himself as the great I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in regards to Moses and his doubts, God then gave him three signs to serve as credentials for his message to the elders of Israel to see if they would accept him or not. The first sign was the sign of the rod. God said, "What is that in thine hand?" Moses said, "A rod." The Lord told him to cast it down, and it became a serpent. Moses fled before it. Now concerning that snake, it must have been some snake. Moses fled before it. Now, he was accustomed to the desert, and a snake, though although repulsive, was no big problem. He could easily kill it. But in this case, he fled before it. God said, "Come back here, Moses. Put thy hand out and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it by the tail, and it became a rod in his hand. This sign would supply Moses with credentials enough to send him into the land of Egypt before the elders of Israel. And that may be more significant to this sign that appears. The 23rd Psalm tells us, "Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me." The rod of Moses was an instrument that helped him walk over rough ground and served as a protective device against wild animals that might attack either him or his flock. When he threw down his rod, all his protection was gone, and the serpent appeared. Moses believed in speaking softly and carrying a big stick. When we throw down our rod, the word of God, the serpent will be on us as soon as the rod hits the ground, and we are defenseless. so don't throw down your rod. Jesus is also referred as God's rod in Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Ladies and gentlemen, as a Christian, when you throw down the Lord or his word, you have had it. There is no way you can fight the devil alone. What is that in thine hand? If it is the Bible, never, never, never throw it down. If you do, the old serpent will show up. Now, if the sign of the rod was not enough proof for Israel, God gave them the sign of the hand. God tells Moses to put his hand into his bosom. When he takes it out, it is as leprous as snow. Leprosy is oftentimes compared to sin. For one thing, it was incurable. The only way to heal it was by a miracle. It takes the miracle of the cross to cleanse us from sin. The song says it took a miracle to put the world in place. It took a miracle to hang the moon in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Now sin, unlike other diseases, separates people from the camp. God thereby shows how unsuitable for a sinner to go to heaven with God's people. Then, too, it has a very insignificant start. It may start as a small yellow spot between the fingers, and several years' time spreads into something called lung cancer. But like most areas of sin, to most of the world, the beginning seems very insignificant. The unsaved sinner never seems to realize that they are on a collision course with hell. Leprosy is contagious. That is why Paul says, evil companionship corrupts good morals. Again, the same apostle says, shun profane babblings. Their word doth eat as a canker or gangrene. Also, leprosy was a living death. So is sin. Paul said, she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth. He said again in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you did he make alive when you were dead in trespasses and sins. In other words, the unforgiven sinner is a walking, breathing, dead man. Then again, there may be further significance to this miracle. Where did Moses put his hand? Into his bosom, near his heart. Now, what does the Lord say about the human heart? Jeremiah said in his prophecy, chapter 17, verse 9, the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Jesus said, out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, false witness, railings. These are the things that defile the man. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could put your hand in your shirt and touch your real spiritual heart, it would come out with the filthiest, obnoxious appearance you could possibly imagine. It would be full of cancers, leprosy, gangrene, boils, and every conceivable vile stench and appearance. Our hands are what others see. The hand may look clean. The hand represents the outward appearance, and that is important, but the heart on the inside that others do not see may be filthy. Even so, it is gloriously true. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Now there was yet a third sign the Lord would reveal to Moses to show the elders of Israel, and that was a sign of the blood. God said to Moses, if they will not believe the first sign, show them the second. If they will not believe the second sign, show them the third sign. And that would be the sign of the blood. God told Moses to take water out of the river and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood on the dry land. This was a sign of coming judgment for the Egyptians. The meaning of this sign would not be lost on the elders of Israel. The River Nile had already been turned into blood by the killing of their own sons. And now this act would be God's message coming through loud and clear, that he would judge the Egyptians by controlling their god, the River Nile. Later, there would be 10 plagues on the land of Egypt, and the first would be the turning of the water into blood. God told Moses, "The water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood." Is there not a hidden message here for us? Show them the blood. Show them the cross. Show them Jesus did atone for our sins. If they won't believe this, there will be no other sign. Jesus said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Show them the blood. One must wonder at what the judgment will be on America, where rivers of blood have been shed in abortion. When you think of what we are doing as a nation in the efforts to remove the name of Jesus and God from every historical event and from school systems, it seems ridiculous that talk show hosts should interview preachers and ask, "Where was God when this earthquake, hurricane, or terrorist attack happened?" God is exactly in the same place where he was when his Son was hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That is where God was then, and that is where God is now. Show them the blood. Show them the cross. Now, in conclusion, Moses was still not convinced. He said, "I am a man of slow speech. I am not eloquent." Moses thought that the delivery of the people depended on great oratory. When we feel like Moses regarding our inadequacy, remember the words of Paul will serve us best. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So to solve Moses' problem, the Lord told Moses, "Your brother Aaron is coming to meet you, and he can speak well. He's an orator. Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, then I will be thy mouth and with his mouth, and shall teach you what ye shall do." Ladies and gentlemen, I know I'm expecting too much, but would not it be wonderful if the Lord would allow the Apostle Peter to stand behind most of the preachers today and feed them the message of salvation? He preached on the day of Pentecost when the church began, "Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But actually, Paul himself tells us in Corinthians the results as far as Israel was concerned in the land of Egypt, when he said, "For I would not, brethren, have you ignorant that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual food, and all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The poem says, "Well, if you go down to yonder fold and search among the sheep, you will find him there, so I'm told, with those he loves to keep. So lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio, 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, tell somebody, somehow, and in some way that God is just a prayer away.